Listener discretion is advised. Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Love line. Coast to coast.
Hey, everybody. It's Love Line. I'm Adam Carolla. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board certified physician, addiction medicine specialist. What's happening there, Drewsker?
Not much. How are you?
I'm tired.
Yeah, I can see that. What's the matter?
Well, a couple of things. We did three-man shows on Saturday.
Oh,
I guess that's yesterday.
Is bad times.
Three's a lot.
Oh.
Saturday's, you know, that's my people's Sabbath.
Yeah, I know.
My people's Sabbath is Saturday and Sunday and Tuesday.
Thursday.
Well, then it comes around to Saturday again. I guess Monday some of my people work, but you know what a puss I am. I hate to work on the weekends. And then today it was off to beautiful Lancaster to go to the maximum security prison over there and get a taste for what it would be like to be incarcerated.
Oh, it sounds very relaxing.
Yeah, if you want to, I mean, first off, hey, I thought libraries were depressing. I hadn't been to prison. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I thought going over to my mom's house was depressing. No, I hadn't been to prison. This is a depressing place, this prison.
Hang on now. The garage you lived in as a young adult where you crapped in the popcorn can must have been close. Showering in the hose on the outside.
That was prison without the food, really, yeah.
Yeah.
But the food is really bad.
I see.
Now, let me tell you, I don't want to sound like this has turned to an episode of Scared Straight, but listen to me. We got a lot of young people on the fringe who listen to the show, could be spending some time in lockdown. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
This prison, well, I went to the one out in Lancaster, which is really just a big desert out in the middle of Southern California.
Is it like a maximum security?
Yeah, this one is.
Our people, our listeners,
yeah,
they're busy having parole violations. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but here's the deal. This prison housed everybody, pretty much. You'd end up at this place.
Really?
Or something like it. Yeah, I mean, listen, here's the thing about prison. It's a little luck of the draw.
Okay.
You can get a decent one. You can get a bad one, too.
All right.
And I happen to be in the maximum security wing of this prison, but it wasn't much different architecturally from the rest of the place.
First off,
the whole place reminded me of junior college.
Ooh.
I mean, from an architectural standpoint, it smelled like it. The people are a little bit brighter at the prison. I got to give them that.
A little less hacky sack, a little less pot.
Well, about the same amount of pot, but less hacky sack, yeah. And same things, fencing, a lot of oranges and browns, lots of linoleum on the floor and a sort of medicinal meets crap smell floating, hovering, death hovering in the air. But the cells in this prison are 6x10. And if you want to know what 6x10 is, and people have a little difficulty with measurements sometimes, I spread my hands out wide, and I touched one wall and touched the other wall simultaneously.
That's 6 feet.
In the cell.
Yeah.
That's 6 feet, and that is the width of the cell block.
Yeah.
There's two guys who stay in there.
Ooh.
Yeah, two guys. And 6 foot is a closet.
This I mean, cut down on your masturbation and napping.
Either that or it would add to it. I'd like to take that challenge, actually. I mean, here's what 6 foot is. Everyone look at your front door and double it. That's your width.
Mm-hmm.
That's the width. And then walk in your house about three or four paces, and there you have it. There's the place you live. That's where your toilet is. That's not one room. That's the room.
That's the suite.
That's the suite.
Yeah.
That's two bunks and a toilet and
sink?
Some shelves. The sink is integrated into the toilet, which is kind of
nice.
Kind of nice. Yeah. So that's it. And then I met a bunch of nice guys who are all lifers, you know, because the wing we were in just had pretty much lifers. It's weird. I mean, I know everyone hates criminals and everything, and I do too, and we hate, you know, we hear about O.J. getting off and all this kind of stuff. But, man, let me tell you, for every one O.J., there's 10 billion dudes just rotting away in there without any decent counsel representation. And I'm not saying they deserve to get out. I'm just saying it's weird when you're talking to a guy, and I'm talking to this one guy. He's attractive. He's a good-looking guy. He's got a smile on his face. He's a sort of friendly, approachable-looking guy. He's a white guy. He's not that that means he's a better guy, but there was a fair amount of white dudes in there, too, which was something I wasn't prepared for.
Good.
Yeah, it was a nice... Yeah, it's good. It's delightful, Drew. There's a nice mixture between the colors in the section
always,
I was
you're
in.
You're always going off about those mass murders and what nice guys they were.
Yep, this guy, but this guy had a genuine, friendly sort of demeanor, and I don't mean overly, let me get that seed for you.
Listen.
It's sort of laid back. His face, if you looked at his face, if you looked at his smile, if you looked at his eyes, he seemed like a very relaxed, very friendly guy. But listen, I said, the guy was playing the guitar. I said, geez, you play that thing pretty well. Were you playing it before you came in? He said, no. I said, wow, you do pretty good on that guitar. He said, well, I've been in for 15 years. I said, I'm looking at the guy. He looks like phone screener Brian. I'm like, 15? How could you be in for 15 years when you're, 22,
Yeah.
I said, no, I'm 32, and I came in when I was 17. And I said, wow, 10, 15 already? Yeah. I said, when are you paroled? And when are you getting out? Never. And I was like, yeah, but what about parole? No.
Well, do you want him to get married? Do you want him to have... relations and all that stuff you scream about every night?
No, but the guys who got in at 17, I'll take a look at them. 15. And a lot of guys get in, they're 30 and they do 7 years or whatever and they end up getting out. This guy obviously killed somebody.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what he did. I know when he did it, he was probably 16 and a half, high, running around with some gang or something or doing God knows what. I don't know what the deal is. I know if he had probably better representation, he'd come up for parole at some point and do something. This guy's playing the guitar and he's painting. Just look at this guy who's quite a few years younger than I am. And he's just looking at me and saying, I'm never. And it's eerie. I mean, he wasn't complaining about it. He seemed soft-spoken, seemed kind of friendly, seemed like spent more years in than he had out at that point. But I talked to like 10 guys who were relatively young, who were working in the art shop, making beautiful paintings, doing this, doing that, sort of going about their day. And each time I said, well, what's it look like? When are you getting out? When are you? Never. I mean, no possibility of parole and no nothing. Life. And it was like, I was like, wow, I got him. All right, well, I got to go. But it was weird. It's weird looking at a young guy with that never getting out thing, especially when he looks like, some guy was on your Pop Warner football team or something, or some guy you went to high school with.
But that is the difficult thing about sociopaths. They make you feel great.
Yeah, and I'm with you on that, Drew, and I don't want to offend the guy just because I met him once, but I'm not so sure a guy who stabs someone owns a liquor store or his girlfriend's lover or something like that at 16 and a half is a sociopath.
That,
probably.
Yeah,
but I don't know.
That's not what this guy did. No way. No way.
Well, he didn't go on a tri-state killing spree at 16 and a half. You don't know? Well, see, here's the thing. Here's the one thing I did realize, Drew. And look, far be it for me to defend these guys, but it's easy to sit back and just go, these guys must have done multiple horrible, horrible things in order to be here. And partially and partly and maybe more than partly, that's true. But a lot of it, too, is just zero representation. If these guys had money, like a lot of more famous people we know who beat things like this, I'm not saying it's a good thing that everyone should throw money at something and get out of it. But you realize these guys just got shoved into the system, and that's it.
Let's say O.J. had no representation, and he was convicted flat out. What do you think would happen to him?
He'd be a lifer.
No.
You don't think so?
Oh, no.
Why not? He had no representation?
Mm.
What do you mean? What would he do?
We'd have some attorney call in and ring in on this.
Right. What do you got
to
do?
My understanding is you have to do heinous, premeditated, awful things.
Yeah, I don't know. I'd like to look into that. So somebody might know. I doubt that's anyone in our audience. But if you do, I'll be curious about it. And the thing that's interesting about it to me is I think it varies quite a bit from time to time, from who's the governor to who's, Republican, Democrat, what the basic sentiment of the time is.
That's interesting.
And who you got and what you did. I mean, it's a lot of it is fairly, I don't mean random. You got to do something bad to get there.
Mm-hmm.
But then after that point, it could range quite a bit.
That's interesting.
And that's the thing that I guess that's what I'm talking about. Yeah. Some people kill people. They do 6.5 years and they're out on parole. And some people do kill somebody and rot in prison for the rest of their lives. And I don't know that there's that much difference between what they did.
Okay.
That's the part I'm interested in finding out about. Rick?
Yes.
You're 27?
Yes, I am.
What's up?
Well, I was just curious, actually, this question is for Dr. Drew, about hanging weights from your penis to enlarge it, if it can do any, like, damage to the blood sacs that actually, you know, fill up when the penis gets erect.
I would imagine it could. It could make them not work so well. You can pull your damn penis off, put enough weight on there.
Well, it's important to start with a heavier weight and do less reps, I believe, Drew, to build initial bulk.
Right.
Because you don't need that much endurance in your penis. I think that's your ass.
Right.
Am I right, Drew?
Yeah. Okay. I'm with you.
Now, the danger really is the weight slipping off and landing on your foot.
I keep thinking that these guys that are doing the hanging weight thing, is their penis is going to look like an elephant trunk. That it really won't change the cavernous bodies that swell with blood, but all the skin and stuff will hang off the tip.
Well, you know, I did see a guy, I did interview a guy. This man show, I tell you, really makes you a well-rounded individual when you're not doing time in maximum security prisons. You're interviewing guys who put weights on their dork. But the weights apparently do something, but it's not much. And it's really, here's what it is. It's like you got a piece of candy, you got a piece of taffy, and you want it to appear bigger, so you stretch it out a little more. No more taffy, little different shape, little longer, but it's a little thinner, too. You know what I mean? Just leave your taffy alone. Stop pulling your taffy.
All I know is that guys are really truly preoccupied with the size of their penis have significant self-worth issues. And usually it revolves around their job.
Right.
There's something they're not doing so well in life.
There.
So
all right.
Get on it.
So yeah, work on your career. And I wish I had a name for a penis that rhymed with career, Drew. Be really smart, but you know what I'm saying. I'm saying work on your career.
Oh, not your, I see. Okay.
Yes, you'd be nice. Mike?
Yeah?
Hold on. Work on your job, not your knob.
Okay.
We'll clean that up in post. Mike, what's up?
Hi. I'm 14, and my mom's been taking a pill called Somas.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I'll just be sitting there, and, like, she'll be really tired, and her eyes will get really droopy and stuff.
Right.
And then my puppy will come outside, and she'll start playing with the puppy and being all hyperactive and, like, running around with the puppy and stuff. And then, like, the puppy will sit down, and she'll come over and sit down by me. And, like, she'll sit down, and I'll be like, so what's going on, Mom? She'll be like, leave me alone, I'm tired.
Oh, boy.
And she'll just, like, sit there and, like...
Is she taking Vicodin also or just the Soma?
All I know of is the Soma.
How much she taking, do you know?
Uh-uh. I just asked her, like, what's going on? Like, why is she taking it? And she said, just leave me alone. It's relieving my stress.
Is that a sleeping pill, Drew?
It's a muscle relaxant, and it's something that's prescribed a lot for back pain and headaches and neck pain, this sort of thing. I, interestingly, have seen just a run on Soma addiction lately. I don't know why that's...
I have to get on board with that. What do you got?
It is an exceedingly difficult drug to come off of.
Why?
There's a whole syndrome I've seen now where people get... something called an akathisia, where they get so agitated they can't sit still. It's like there's a motor going, and it's a very uncomfortable agitation. At the same time, they get... Have you ever heard of restless leg syndrome?
Yeah.
They get kind of... Their legs kind of uncomfortable, and they want to move them. Well, they get that in their upper extremities.
Bad times.
And it's constant. It's painful, and it's miserable, and it goes on for weeks.
All right. Now that you scared the crap out of young Mike, what should he do?
I could not... detox a Soma patient outside a hospital, so she really needs to look into a chemical.
Well, how long has she been on it?
I'd say probably about 4 weeks. I don't know.
Well,
that's probably what I've known of it for.
Well, Mike, here's a question. How was she before the Soma?
She just, like, I mean, she'd come home from work and she'd be stressed out and take off her shoes, you know, and, like, but other than that, she was pretty okay. Like, we could, like, float the river or something on a Saturday if she wanted to, and now she's just like, brr.
Was she drinking a fair amount before?
Not really.
Hey, Mike?
Yeah?
You know, I appreciate your concern for your mom, and I bet she will, too, at some point. Maybe not now. But it sounds, at least thus far, like your mom had a little problem with some anxiety. She got herself some medication. She's a tired person, maybe has some troubles. You can't get so wrapped up in it.
Mm.
I mean, I don't know. I don't think he's going to detox his mom right now. He can. You can say to her, "Hey, yeah. this thing makes you, you know, makes your mood this way.
It's scaring me. You need to do something about this, or call her doctor if you can. If you know it's prescribed, call him or her."
Or she's just taking it when she comes home from work at night to go to bed or mellow out or whatever. How often are you supposed to take it?
Rarely.
Oh, rarely?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's something when you really have a bad muscle spasm kind of thing. She's taking it regularly to the point that it's affecting her parenting.
I thought she took it every night.
And addiction, well, you could for a couple of days, even a week, but not beyond that. And addiction is defined by its consequences, and it's affecting her ability to be a competent parent, and that's...
All right,
that's,
so listen, tell her, but don't freak on her. Yeah. And, you know, Mike, 14, it's time to start running with your friends, thinking about chicks, and trying to make stuff into bombs.
Trying to get away from mom.
Trying to get away from mom. That's the point.
Well,
that's,
it's sad. Mike's the caretaker of mom at 14. It's bad.
That's my message, is don't be that. Dane?
Yeah?
You shouldn't be talking to your mom enough to know what kind of mood she's in. That's my point at 14. Dane, my mom could have died in her bedroom, been there for like 8 years. I wouldn't have known it. I would have like tapped on the door. Mom?
She didn't yell out.
You're sleeping?
Freak out!
I guess you're sleeping, Mom. I'm going to take the change off the counter. I'm going over to Chris's house. Be back in a couple of days. Fast forward 4 years, Mom. Ain't napping. Did you fart in there, Mom? Smells like rotting flesh.
Where's that pot smell?
All right. Well, anyway, I'm going out. Dane?
Yeah?
15. What's up?
Okay. I've been in a relationship for about 2 years, and she told me that she's been having it like she's been cheating on me with this guy that I know from work. And it's been going on for about a week, and I want to know what I should do about it, because I have feelings for her, though.
She's your girlfriend for 2 years?
Yes.
Is that how she would describe this relationship?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And what made her tell you about this cheating?
She said she felt bad, and so...
Is she wanting to break up?
No, she said she's sorry and stuff, but I don't know what I should do.
Does she want to keep seeing this other guy?
I don't know. She just said that I've been having an affair and I feel bad about it and I want to confront
you. An affair at 15. Sounds kind of... Oh. Okay, Mrs. Robinson.
Yes. She called it an affair?
Yes.
Wow. Jesus, kids are growing up. I would have been like, I'm put my ding-a-ling in this other chick's hoo-ha, and it feels good. That would have been like at 15. Can I still put my ding-a-ling in your hoo-ha? Or could you touch it? Touch it now. That would have been me at 15. Hey, Dane.
Yeah?
Maybe she wants out of the relationship. How long has she been carrying on with this other guy, do you know?
For about a week.
For about a week. And what has she been doing with this guy?
She said she had sex with him and...
Oh, boy.
She's always around him, not me, and so...
Hold on a second, young Dane.
It's either this is bogus or Dane's not the boyfriend.
Well, it's always a little curious to me when somebody says... I have this long-standing relationship, you know, a couple of years with this person, and they're carrying on with this other person, and I found out about it, and they told me about it, and it's like, so what happened? Are they still going to see the person? Well, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Now, listen, when you're in a relationship that you care about that's been going on for a few years, which at 15 is like entire puberty, by the way, and... You find out that this person's been screwing around behind your back. It's a thousand pardons and no, it'll never happen again, and I'm not even going to talk to the person.
We'll see. Neither one of us want to talk about what the inevitable is here. She doesn't want to make her upset. He doesn't want to.
Dane.
Know.
Yeah.
She's done with this relationship.
And lately, I've.
Dane, shut up. She's done.
I know, but
it's over.
Can I have one more thing?
No, it's over. Do you hear me?
Yes.
All right. You have to accept that. That's good. She's a troubled person.
Lately, I...
What do you think he's got to say?
Mason Jordan.
Something else.
Mason.
Go ahead, Dane.
Lately, I've been on Ritalin.
Oh.
In a mason jar?
No, I've been on Ritalin.
Oh, really? Yeah.
And I was wondering because I go off and on him.
Well,
I was wondering what could happen to me.
You mean you're abusing Ritalin? You're finding somebody else's drugs and using
it? No, I'm on them because I have ADD.
And why would you go off it?
Because it's like in the summer, and like I still take them off and on.
Who told you to take it off and on?
The doctor?
No. They told you to take it off and on? Take it as you please?
Pardon?
They told you to take it as you please?
No, here's how it was. He told him to take it often.
Yeah.
On every day.
Yeah, hear it off and on.
Dane.
Yes?
Okay. Go. You got to go back and talk to your doctor.
That is not a medicine.
Yeah, it's not.
He didn't say, the doctor didn't say that, my grandma. So she says she's like really screwed up and she says, it's okay if you go off and on.
No, it is not okay. It is not okay.
What could happen.
Dane, your grandmother screwed up. Don't listen to her.
It is not okay to go off and on. It's okay to go off it if you talk to the doctor about it. And it's also, if you're going to take it, you got to take it properly.
Good times. All right, so Dane, go to the doctor, talk about the Ritalin.
Get rid of this girl.
Get rid of this chick who's having sex with somebody else after a two-year relationship, and she's probably like 14, and it's a mess. Jordan?
Yeah.
You're 18.
Yeah.
What's up?
Well, I was just wondering if guys usually like bigger nipples on girls or littler ones.
What the? Well, now, I have an opinion on this, but what part of the nipple, the actual nipple or the part around the nipple?
Like the part around it.
Well, part around.
That's Adam's part. That's the Corolla zone.
That's right. The Corolliola.
A Corolliola. That's right.
We call that. Write that down here. I like the big areola myself.
Uh-huh.
That's me.
Okay.
I'm an areola man.
Okay.
They're only areolite, I believe they're called.
Yes. Drew over here is an ass man. You know how I know that?
How?
Because each time someone brings up his name, they say, that Drew, he's an ass, man.
No-talent ass clown.
That was a zinger, man. Woo! All night, man. It's going to keep coming, too.
I hope not.
Did you hear that ass man one, Jordan?
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
Jordan, you feel better? Right? Adam is in your camp.
Well, now, here's the deal, though, I realize. You say, or I say, I like the big areola, but then you picture it on a small chest, and you realize, wait a minute.
Like a C, like almost D.
Mm-hmm.
And they're about, like, maybe an inch and a half to 2 inches, like in diameter, I guess you could say.
Uh-huh. Well, now, inch and a half to two.
That's proportional.
Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah.
Because I feel, like, insecure about it.
Well, hold on. Do you have any way of measuring them?
Oh, I did while I was on hold.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
What'd you measure them with?
A ruler.
A ruler?
Yeah.
Hmm. And you're saying an inch and a half?
To two. Basically two.
Really like this, right?
So you're saying it's basically two.
Yeah.
It's kind of hard to tell because they're not like a drawing where you draw a circle. They sort of bleed. Right. They blend a little bit.
Show me 2-inch diameter circle.
That's only good for an eighth of an inch.
That's 2 inches?
No.
No.
No, I just drew a circle. I was just trying to prompt myself. Yeah, that's 2 inches.
It's not like they're abnormally large, but
so it's about like that.
Two inches is bottled water. The bottom of like a small container bottled water is probably it's 2 1/4, really. It's a little bit bigger than 2 inches.
Like, what do you guys think if they see like a girl with big nipples?
The game on.
Okay.
That's what I think.
All right.
Yeah, that's good.
Okay.
There's nothing wrong with that. Okay, don't you ever hang your head in shame, young lady.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
All right?
All right.
Feel good about yourself.
I do.
And you know, here's the thing. Guys really, maybe there's like 3 guys are out there effing it up for the rest of us. I've never really heard any guys
complaining.
I've never really heard any complaints. Have you?
No.
I mean, most guys have been with girls all shapes and sizes in that department. They seem to enjoy each one for kind of what they are,
mm-hmm.
and the variety that is breasts.
Mm-hmm.
And guys have their own sort of preferences, but it's never enough to really make or break a deal. Yes?
Some guys are certain range that they have.
But there's a handful of troublemakers that screw it up for everybody.
Yes,
is basically what I'm saying, and get chicks to freak out over everything.
Mm-hmm.
Nice round areola is good times, and within proportion on the breasts, right?
Good times.
All right. I, for the record, like a little bit bigger than is necessary.
In everything.
Yeah, abundanza. That's my rallying call.
Yeah.
We'll take ourselves a little break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. Corolla. And that's Dr. Drew over there.
Yeah.
1-800-LOVE-191. Let me tell you a little bit more about the prison life here, Drew.
Yeah.
Sat down and ate with the prisoners.
Mm-hmm.
Food, not delightful, by the way.
Mm.
A little turkey, a little mashed potatoes, you know. Not great fare over there.
Awful?
But, yeah. I'd say awful.
Yeah.
Yeah. You'll be glad to know. I mean, all the folks like myself who, you know, sit around and say, oh, those guys over there dining on fine cuisine and watching satellite TV all day on the taxpayer's dollar.
Yeah.
They've cleaned up a fair amount of that.
Yeah.
The cells are small, and the food is bad.
Yeah.
And the food, the thing that was interesting, the thing that Jimmy and I couldn't figure out is they give you that big tray. It's like the Army, and they, you know, put the slop in there.
Yeah.
And you got your little cup of sherbet, you know, mashed potatoes, a little turkey, a little salad. But then a huge, big opening in the tray. I mean, something that was like a, you know, decent-sized soup bowl filled with gravy.
Ugh.
Now, the gravy was sort of green-colored.
Oof.
It was more green than it was brown. And it was sort of congealed, but yet sort of clear. It had a sort of a gelatin sort of thing to it.
Ugh.
And little solid pieces in it. And it was deep. And Jimmy and I couldn't get over the gravy because there was a fairly small piece of turkey. And you think, okay, turkey and gravy, but a ketchup packet of brown gravy spurted over that small piece of turkey would have sufficed. This was a whole big, like, bowl of horrible-looking gravy. And I looked at it, and Jimmy looked at it, and I think I probably put my finger in it and tasted it, and it was bad. And everyone in the whole prison just sort of looked at it, and I asked a few people, like, what's with the gravy? I mean, since when do you get, like, a big bowl of gravy, and since when is this gravy? This ain't gravy.
Yeah.
Sort of like soup meets Jello, but
yeah.
with unknown stuff in it.
Oof.
And everyone didn't seem to know. They were like, I don't know. I don't eat it. I don't want it. I don't whatever. And I said to Jimmy, what is it with this gravy? And then I thought, you know what it is? This is to let people know they're in prison.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You got to have that bowl of crappy whatever that just looks like hell.
Right.
That's a bad off green color that there's way too much of and that no one will eat.
Right.
Because if you just put your plate down there and devour everything that's in front of you, that ain't prison. I imagine it's this way in the Army, too. There's always got to be something on the side, something
to remind you.
Well, like when you riot, that's what you throw.
Yeah.
The gravy.
Yeah.
But They must have went through 750 gallons of gravy that day, and I'd say maybe a hummingbird's belly worth was actually consumed. Nobody ate it. Why the gravy?
You know, maybe it's the prison equivalent of parsley.
I think you're onto something there, Drew. I think parsley. Yeah, I think gravy is the prison parsley.
Yeah,
yeah, Tom. You're 15. It's how they keep it real.
Tom?
Yeah.
What's up?
Hey, what's going on?
Yeah.
Okay, first of all, Adam, I'd like to tell you that, first of all, okay, you are a god.
Thank you, buddy.
And you should definitely start your own religion.
Thank you.
First of all, good. Okay.
Yeah, it's consistent.
Yeah, well, I think the prison would be a good place to get that started. Oh, man, I got to tell you, they had American Indians there that had their own little worship place, but it was covered with Constantine wire and fencing, and it was about the size of your porch, you know? There's a lot of weird stuff going on in that prison, man. All right, I'm sorry.
Okay, so the call I told the screener, that's just a fake question.
All right, good. Talk more about prison. met a guy in there, killed a guy with his hook.
His arm hook?
Oh, yeah.
That's nice. How do you do it?
Well,
eye, neck.
The whole thing about the detail part of this stuff, Drew, is when you're actually just sitting with these guys and there's nobody around, really. You don't tend. There's two things you do. A, you don't sweat the details as much, and B, you tend to do a little more head nodding and a little less. Oh, wait a minute. No, you're telling me you slipped and the hook went in your old lady's neck. Give me a break. You do less of that and a little more. Wow, that's a bad break. Guy sitting there, 50 years old, not morbidly obese, but getting close to it. Big, thick Coke bottle glasses. Again, white dude, like sort of Birdman of Alcatraz, but fat kind of guy.
Yeah.
With the arm cut off about halfway up the upper arm.
Mm-hmm.
A good 4 or 5 inches from the elbow, just a nub there. And I'm looking at it, and he's looking at me. And when we asked him... what he's in for. I mean, said basically the hook on the prosthetic arm. You remember the old style arm that had the nice handy hook on it? That was the weapon that got him in. So I want to know where the arm was now. It's in the Smithsonian, apparently. No, not with him. Doesn't like it. Was lovely to watch the morbidly obese guy with the stump for a right arm use the nub of the right arm to hold, to steady the sherbet container so that he could pop the cap off the top of it with a good hand.
You're just a lightweight.
That was delightful.
You're a television pussy.
You pansy.
Pansy, that's right. You are. You live in your little floofy world of TV
and
radio.
My little ivory cable tower.
Real people, limbs removed, living in depravity.
Killing people with hooks.
People. That's what humans are about.
Oh.
I think they have lived nicely in their Hollywood Hills.
Yeah, I'll tell you. Literally millionaire. Amy?
Why?
Amy, you're 17.
Hi.
What's up?
I've been into S&M since I was, like, really little, and I'm 22.
How old?
Like, 6.
Oh, no, come on. What happened to you?
I was raped.
When you were how old?
7.
Oh, God.
By my stepfather.
Very nice. I would, if you were into S&M by the time you were 6, you must have been sort of physically abused before that, too.
Yeah. He used to duct tape me down to chairs and make me watch bondage porn.
Oh, my God.
Good time.
Now.
By the way, separate part of the prison for those guys.
Really?
Yes,
is he
indeed.
In prison now?
I love you so much, Adam. You should marry me.
All right. Well, is he in prison now, Amy?
It was a hung jury. They didn't believe me. My mom testified against me.
Your mom testified against you saying what? You
said I was a liar and all this crap and it never happened.
Oh, my God.
Where would you get it? You know, you just...
That's 6.
Well, how long ago was the trial?
When I was like 8.
Oh, my God.
Interesting. All right, so your stepmom and, I mean, your dad and your, I'm sorry, your stepdad and your mom still together?
No.
Why did they, yeah?
She got sober and broke up with him.
All right.
Sober from what?
Speed.
Okay.
Oh, that's a beautiful, beautiful imagery when you close your eyes and picture those two shacked up.
And poor Amy in the middle of one.
Yeah. And what's your mom say now?
She still doesn't believe me.
Really? Even though she's sober now, huh?
Yeah.
You'd think that part would come around. And did he rape you more than once?
Yeah.
How's her sobriety?
She's 8 years clean.
Doesn't take anything?
No. She just smokes cigarettes.
And doesn't believe you?
Nope.
When's the last time you spoke to her about it?
When I was like 13.
So you haven't spoken to her about it in many years.
I don't really like to talk to her about it.
All right. Well, that's why I was probing about her sobriety and her lack of acceptance, because sobriety is about honesty and about dealing with these things. And if she's not willing to or not accepting or in denial still, it's hard to imagine that she would maintain her sobriety. But I bet if you brought it up now, she'd be able to talk about it. I don't know that you should or that it would do anything for you, though.
No, it would just make more problems in the house.
Yeah, possibly.
All right. So you're living with her now?
Yeah.
Oh, that's got to be comfortable.
It is. You should try it.
I did until I was like 19. Then I got the F out of there.
Yeah.
Okay, so it says up on the screen you're 2 months pregnant.
22 weeks. And
is that 4 years?
What?
How many years is that?
22 weeks.
Oh.
All right.
How many years is that?
So she's almost there. She's 10 weeks away from
that. Oh, okay, so now you got to have the child, right?
Yeah, but I was wondering, like, what can't I do when I'm pregnant that's bondagey?
Well, cat of nine tails would be out, gimp ball, padded cuffs, being hung by your feet, that kind of stuff. I'm guessing the rack through it.
You can't do anything aggressive.
Because I had sex a couple days ago and I was being choked.
Mm-hmm.
And he wasn't anywhere near my stomach because he knows I'm pregnant. And
Sir Walter Raleigh again. Yes. Yes. He says chivalry's dead.
Remember, your infant gets the same oxygen that you get.
Oh, really? Fascinating.
Right.
Or don't get.
I didn't know that, no.
Well, you got to figure if you stop breathing, eventually the child's going to stop.
Where do you think the baby's oxygenated from?
I got that umbilical cord.
Yeah, from your lungs, your blood.
Well, listen, not everyone's a physician, Drew.
Maybe a physician. You're just
lighten up, buddy. That's what I'm saying. Amy?
No, but I was going to have a threesome this weekend with two of my guy friends.
Uh-huh.
And we're all into bondage, and they were, like, going to handcuff me up and whip me. Is whipping bad?
Hold on a second.
Remember, tie it up, duct tape at age six to watch porn, S&M porn.
Yeah, it's tough because this would be bogus.
Oh, no, this is real.
If it wasn't.
She had all the right
groundwork, wasn't laid.
And she gives you that right feeling, too.
Yeah. Although, really, you really want to know if whipping is bad? And by the way, I'd like to meet the breed of cat that takes a 17-year-old chick who's visibly pregnant and puts the leather hood on her, gives her a nice beating with a riding crop.
What is she digging for? What is she looking for?
Okay. Oh, by the way, Crank Yanker's on, everybody, as we speak, Comedy Central. A delightful show. New episode. Amy?
Yeah.
What do you need to know from us?
What would hurt the baby if...
Okay, all of this. Well, remember, here's where this is not focused. What word can I use that isn't too disparaging?
Nuts?
Well, she has enough lack of insight as to not understand that her breathing is necessary for the child's oxygen supply.
Well, I just learned that, too. Amy?
Yeah?
What are you going to do with this child after it's born?
Graze it?
No. I wouldn't trust you with a pot plant.
I would give her the green light on the S&M.
I think you need to give this kid away.
Yes, if you gave it up for adoption. I'd give a green light on everything. The sooner you get that child out of her, the better.
Listen, if you took this kid, put it in a bassinet, and tied it to a weather balloon, and let it go, it would be in much better shape than...
Odds better.
Being
better
raised,
odds, yeah.
You raising this kid.
Why?
Because you are a mess. Oh, yes.
Amy,
a mess.
Come on, you know that.
You are a mess. And that's all right. I mean, you're 17, and your stepdad did all kinds of horrible things to you, and you're supposed to be a mess, and that's fine, but you can't mess somebody else up. So I want you to give this kid up for adoption. Yeah. I know you're a mess, and you're clinging to the kid, but that's not right.
Kid is not there for you. You need to be able to be there for that person, separate human being that needs a parent. And if you're not up to that, or if you need someone to love you or be there for you, that's not a parent.
And who are these guys, by the way, who want to give you the threesome?
Two of my guy friends.
How old are they?
28 and 30.
Right. And
we really should report these guys.
You're 17?
Yeah.
These guys are endangering the life of your child and raping you.
These are criminals, these guys. You understand that? These aren't your friends. These are horrible, horrible guys. Probably working in the construction field or around metal.
Actually, one of them just got out of prison.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, who said they're criminals?
Yeah. Well, I'm all wrong about them then. listen, well, please, don't screw your life up. Don't screw the kid's life up. Come on. You understand. Look, you had horrible things done to you. Is that's it? That's the rest of your life now? You let a bunch of old guys who just got out of prison do horrible things to you for the rest of your life? You got to stop. You give this goddamn kid up for adoption. Do you understand me?
Okay.
And you don't do anything in the meantime that could jeopardize the child's health.
Right.
No bondage with
2 months will be over.
With criminals. Do you understand?
Okay.
Stop it.
Okay.
You get that cable and you sit in front of the TV set for a change like I do. You wait to die. All right? 30-year-old guy. Imagine the pitch from one guy to the other.
Hey, Stu.
Yeah. What's up, Kurt?
Let's go over to see Amy tonight.
Amy, she's pregnant.
Yeah, you see this hood? She loves this stuff.
All right. Well, let's see. You choke her, and I'll beat her with this riding crop, and then we'll both get off, all right? That's great. When's she going to be 18?
Well, I don't know. She's 8 months pregnant.
Yeah, I don't think that's a factor.
She must be over 18 then.
Wait a minute. You don't have the kid on your birthday, do you? Well, I guess
I can't figure it out. I don't know.
Well, it's a kid's birthday. Oh, man, you're blowing my mind. All right, let's take a little break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. phone number, 1-800-LOVE-191. Let's get back to them phones, Sandra. What you say now? Rick?
Yes, it'd be me.
You work at a prison, do you, Rick?
Yes, I do. I work at Corcoran State Prison, the home of Charlie Manson.
Ooh, oh.
Nice.
I thought he was at San Quentin.
No, he is not at San Quentin. He is right here in the heart of California.
When did they move him? How many years ago?
They move Charlie from time to time. He freaks out, and they move him, and they bring him back.
What does he do when he freaks out?
He acts like Charlie. He's just your basic knucklehead. So, Adam, I want to say you're a god, and Drew, you're an ass, man.
That's nice. Why does Charlie act like a freak out? What do you mean by that? What does he do?
He just does the typical Charlie Manson thing. That's what we kind of call it around here.
We don't know what that is.
Oh, though. I know what it is.
He likes to smear his own feces on the wall.
Yeah.
And sometimes he'll even eat it.
Yeah.
That's a pretty typical thing that happens in a prison. Adam, you probably saw, being in a prison, that there's several different types of prison gangs, and you can count on some of the gangs are the ones that are the bigger crap eaters. So.
Really.
Yeah, and you usually can count on a lot of the white guys. So.
Eating the crap.
Depending on what type of program they're in.
Listen, Rick, I'm with you, by the way, in that the brothers, they're not into all that. Their life is crappy enough. They've eaten enough crap in their life. Not literally, but you know what I'm saying? You go to an S&M parlor, you don't see black guys hanging out there. Black guy wants to nail a hot, young, blonde chick. He doesn't want some fat chick in her 40s to beat the crap out of him. That's his life, you understand? He don't need to pay for it.
Yeah.
What's going on around there, Rick?
Well, you were talking about guys that you look at them and you think of guys that you would normally just see on the street. They look like your normal, everyday guy. And then you come to find out that these guys are, they've committed multiple murders, different types of, heinous acts.
I'll tell you, yeah. It's absolutely true. And thanks for the call, Rick.
Why does he scare me?
Because there's guys screaming in the background. I hope those are inmates.
He
called you an ass man, too. But not an ass man, an ass man. But here's the thing. Every single guy, not every single guy I saw, but every single guy I had a conversation with, sort of quiet, laid back, friendly, you realize you can't tell from anybody. You know what I mean?
You want to hear some more stories from him like that?
I don't... I'm not completely sure he was 100% legitimate. I don't mean he was bogus. I just mean there's a lot going on in the background.
I thought he was in the prison.
He was?
Yeah.
I was in the prison today. There wasn't that much yelling going on in the background. Yeah, maybe that was it. Well, anyway. Yes, every murderer I met and spoke to today looked fairly subdued.
Mm-hmm.
Some guys, though, covered with the swastika tattoos and stuff, you got the feeling that, maybe these guys could put a shiv in you if push came to shove. But then there are other guys just as friendly. It actually mellows you out. Actually, here's something that's interesting, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Scary people are more mellow when they're mellow.
Here's what the piece you're missing.
Violent people.
Really appreciate that people that feel out of control and violent don't like feeling that way. And when you put them in a highly contained environment, they feel better.
Yes.
They get mellow.
But
super mellow sometimes.
Here's what I mean. I have spent half my lifetime hanging around with boxers.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't move into a gym, but I've known quite a few boxers. They're always super mellow guys, super mellow.
Yeah.
They talk a little slow. They're very relaxed. Mm. And they look in the eye and they go, how are you doing?
They're polite.
Yeah, and then they beat the crap out of you.
People actually think that is because when they are beaten as children themselves, it induces a parasympathetic tone of dissociation. So the sympathetic fight or flight response sort of passed them long ago. They're now in sort of the preparatory phase for the inevitable, huge assault. And when they do get angry, they get violent.
Yeah. Well, not all the boxers were beaten, though.
But people that have that parasympathetic thing.
I'm just saying, guys who do a lot of ass kicking are too mellow, But in real life.
My point is, not from the kicking of ass. It's
no.
That's the person that chooses to do the kicking of ass is the one that has that parasympathetic tone.
Yeah. Yeah. And in movies, when they show guys, the mean guys all hyped out all the time, it's that's not what they are.
Mm-mm.
They're very mellow, and then they flip a switch, and they kill you.
They can't regulate. That's the problem. It just explodes.
Joe? You're 14? Joe? I think he hung up.
He's been waiting 85 minutes, then he just says hello and hangs up?
Well, I talked to him for 13 seconds. I mean, seems like enough, right?
I guess so. It was enough for him.
Well, I said hi to him.
Like you said, it was enough for him.
Yeah. Natalie?
Yeah?
Yeah, you're 19. What's up?
I hear, like, these voices in my head, and it's, like, talking about me, and, like, it's other people talking to me.
You're fat.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm not fat.
Anything else happening? Do any drugs or anything?
I've smoked marijuana.
But you're not doing speed or cocaine?
No.
All right.
All right.
Have you been very, very depressed lately?
I think I have been, like, my whole life, but...
All right. Have you talked to a doctor about these symptoms?
Yeah, they gave me medication.
Okay, but you told them about the hallucinations, the auditory hallucinations?
Yeah.
Okay, it's all right. It's part of the psychiatric syndrome you're dealing with. A lot of different psychiatric problems cause that. Medication helps it completely.
All right, so listen to your doctor.
Yeah?
And take your medication, and we'll be back. Everybody, Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Unwritten law coming up a little later this week. And
let's talk about Bobcat tomorrow.
Huh?
Is that for real?
Bobcat Goldthwait? I don't know if he's showing up or not. Apparently not.
No.
Probably out of town. I work with him though. I haven't seen him around in a while. That guy's got a good life.
Really?
Well, he's got a good life and a bad life.
I mean, he deserves it. He's a good guy. He's a smart guy.
He's a delight.
Mm-hmm.
And a dear, dear, dear friend, Bobcat is. But Bobcat goes out of town, like, on every Thursday and comes home on, like, every Monday and does stand-up.
Right.
And he's out in, like, South Dakota.
Right.
Playing Bob's Yuck Shack and Yak Yaks. And
he likes that, huh?
No stand-up I know will admit to liking stand-up because I think... They know that I label them as nuts. Although, you know, I look askance at anyone who admits liking work of any form.
Right.
I look down on them for that.
Right. Especially in front of other people, needing other people's approval for it.
Right.
Oh,
right.
And you're just
oof. Right. Right. That's me. I don't want people to hear what I have to say. But let me talk for a little while longer before we take some
just
more calls.
Just listen to me.
Just listen to me, man. So Bobcat never admits to liking neither any stand-ups. But on the other hand, you got to work at some point. That's where his work's coming in right now. He makes some decent money. And I'm sure if you took... I guess what a lot of people think is, well, the guy's a celebrity or whatever. But eventually you got to work, right? And if you ain't making Hot to Trot 2 or Scrooge 2 or whatever...
Police Academy. What
Police it? Academy 57. 12. Then you got to go to South Dakota and go to the guffaw factory and make your $2,500 and come back home again. So,
not a bad deal.
Well, no. I mean, here's the thing. It ain't making $40 million a year as one of the cast members of Friends, but better than swinging a hammer. That's for damn sure. All right,
ooh,
Drew.
We lost one.
Are you saying Bobcat's like one step above a construction worker? Is that what you're saying?
No.
No, I'm saying better than swinging a hammer, meaning better than a regular job, better than everyone else.
He's even though this is something that Adam disapproves of and sounds awful, pretty good deal.
Yeah, but listen, I could wax on forever, but showbiz becomes like blue collar and white collar at a certain point. I mean, what I mean is
people that work and people that don't work.
In the real world, there's guys who get up and dig ditches every day and paint things and haul garbage. And then there are guys who are executives or who invented something or who are investment bankers and make a ton of money. In show business, there's that too. There's people who wrote some idea for a game show and are just going to the mailbox, cashing a check every day. And then there's guys who do stand-up, go on the road, do cruise ships, and do that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
All right. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, I'm saying Bobcat, yeah, one step ahead. I didn't make it seem like it was, what he was doing was better than swinging a hammer, did I? No. Danny?
Yeah.
Got to turn that radio down.
All right.
Thank you. But, Bob, if you're listening, dear, dear friend, and I hope to see you soon. Now.
Danny?
Well, actually, this is his friend, Matt.
This is Danny's friend? I thought it was Bobcat's friend.
Yeah. That's
what this is Danny's friend, Matt?
Yeah.
All right. Let's go.
Well, I have a question. Why do nice guys, you know, basically get crapped on by women?
No, they don't.
Well, there's a couple reasons.
They're a little needy.
Yeah. First of all, I thought about this the other day. You know, women and men in their, like, late teens and 20s could not be further apart in terms of their biology and their psychology. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Yeah.
And around 18 to 22, a lot of women are sort of trying to corral that alpha male type, that brooding, independent, testosteronized guy that really sort of treats them like crap, trying to convert them into the nice guy. They haven't yet understood that they don't come in both forms.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? It's either nice guy or the a-hole guy. You can't turn one into the other. And the a-hole guy really tends to be not available, even though the perception is that somehow he is truly available and, you know, sort of knows what he wants and is very independent and not very needy. And there's a whole other side of that, which is also completely detached emotionally. The nice guys, if they can also be available emotionally and seem sort of having their S together,
mm-hmm.
focused on their own S, not so needing a woman to make them complete kind of thing, and not interested in pleasing.
Yeah.
They'll be fine. They'll do much better than anybody.
Well, let's face it. You, Drew, you tell me your opinion. What is the worst years to be a man?
Under?
You give me, no. Give
worst
me
years?
Worst years. Worst years. Give me 7 years.
7 years? 15 to 22.
No.
13 to 20.
No. I say 18 to 25. You can, because here's the thing.
No, because you have a potential then. Your worst years were then. But that can actually be okay for some guys that time.
No. Because when you're in high school, you're in your own little community, and you're actually, when you're 17, 18-year-old in high school, you're older.
I understand, but if you were not in then, there is nothing you can do about it. While at 20 or 23, let's say, if you can do things for yourself and about yourself and your life to increase your number.
All right, but I'm saying when you're 17, it's possible to date 16-year-olds.
Mm-hmm.
When you're 19, you don't get to go out with 19-year-olds anymore.
Right.
That's the difference. When you're in high school, you get to go out with high school-age girls.
Mm-hmm.
When you graduate high school, you got a year, maybe a year and a half, where you can date some seniors in high school or something like that. Or if you're in college, maybe you can do that. But when you're 20, 19, 21 as a guy, you have no money, you have no direction, and you can't date 19-year-old or 20-year-old chicks, and you sure as hell ain't dating 25-year-old chicks.
All right, so let's agree on 14 to 21.
That's bad. I say 22, 23 is bad for a guy.
But at least the guy has the potential. There's no potential before that.
Okay, starting to crawl out of the grave at 22, 23.
Some can emerge.
Yeah. All right. I'll go along with that. And here's the reason why I didn't even really count 16, 17 years old, because it's sort of a who cares. I mean, when I was in high school, I wasn't getting any tail.
Right.
I knew it. It wasn't that big a deal. I hung around with my buddies. It was okay. You know, I wasn't happy about the fact that I was not getting 1 ounce of vagina. But I was having a good time screwing around with my buddies anyway. It's tough when you're then out on your own and you're like 20 and you're drinking a few beers and you ain't getting an ounce. That's tough. I mean, it is kicked in by then.
Mm-hmm.
And look, when you're 16, 17 years old, getting a chick naked, that's a thrill. That's gravy time. That's exciting. That's a plus, you know. But when you start getting in your 20s and it ain't happening, then it's like, all right, listen, I deserve this. I mean, I need this. It wouldn't be nice. I need it. I mean, this is why You take 16, 17-year-old guys who ain't getting any ass, they're not seeing prostitutes.
Right.
You see a 22, 23-year-old guy ain't getting anything. He's going to a cat house.
But again, this is how different men and women are. There are women that want it like that, but don't. Guys must have.
Right.
Like that, the life depends upon it.
Yeah. Guys, it's pretty slim pickings, 18 to, 23, 24, 25. All you can do, fellas, is use that time to up your place in the world so that you can cash in. Cash in.
Or just crawl out. I mean, not cash in.
Listen, you can have totally different careers with women as a man.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen it in guys around me.
It's true.
Seen guys that couldn't get a damn thing going. Now they're making some money. They got their S together. They've gotten position of power. They're 20 pounds heavier. They're minus a little bit of hair. And they're getting tons and tons of chicks. You can do this. And it's not money, but money's part of it.
It's position.
Jessica.
Caller who goes by Jessica. Oh, that's that.
I haven't done that in a while. One of those tonight. Let's talk to Ryan. Ryan?
Yeah?
17.
Yeah.
Virgin. Virgin, by the way.
Okay.
Yeah.
I had a question. Can you grow hair on your scrotum?
I can.
Yeah, most people can.
Or
I just sprung one.
I thought you could just grow it, like, above your penis.
Above your penis?
Yeah. I was told in class.
Are you, is it true you're virgin, Ryan?
No.
Oh, come on.
No.
Adam, give me a break.
Adam.
What year were you born?
84.
And what month?
December.
And what sign are you?
Sagittarius.
That's right.
All right. You just dodged a bullet, my friend. but we'll meet again. And when we do, this time you won't be so lucky.
But now the virgin part, though.
No. Yeah. Who'd you have sex with? Don't give us a name, but girlfriend?
Yeah.
How many times?
Just once.
Just once. And
what do you mean by sex?
It wasn't really sex, just playing around.
Okay. Here we go.
So you've never really had intercourse?
No.
See, let me tell you the beauty of us and me, more importantly.
Well, I got that one, too.
I know, but I'm talking to a 17-year-old guy, and God knows 90% of our 17-year-old males are not virgins anymore. And we say virgin, and he says, no, not a virgin. And you know what? That ain't enough.
We don't believe him.
Now, why that's not enough, I don't know. He's 17, and he says he's not a virgin. That seems like enough. And he's not a liar.
Oh, but he is.
Well, he's a stretcher, but it's not a bogus call.
No, right. He's not intending to lie to us.
Yeah, that's right.
Not premeditated lie.
Because people are that predictable, we have to keep going until we realize that he is actually a virgin.
Until we find the truth.
Now we can sleep at night. So, Ryan.
Yeah?
You want to know about the pubic hair on the scrotum.
Yeah.
Yeah. Listen, as you get older, you will eventually be covered with hair. Every part of your body.
Okay.
Top of your toes get hair. That's always a weird one.
One of my kids discovered that today and me.
Ball sack gets hair on it.
Oh, that too. No. No, they were freaking out about their hair on my toes.
It seems, and by the way, and Drew, you're not a hairy guy, so this not really happened to you. It keeps going. I mean, as a guy, sure, your penis is done growing. Your height is done. You're done at 18 years old.
You ain't done with hair.
No. No, you ain't done.
Well, that's the most attractive part about a male. It's good. At least that keeps growing.
Yeah. I mean, I've seen some of my buddies, I've seen their backs spring up between the ages of 29 and 33.
Good times.
You know? And a difference between 33 and 38 on a dude.
Well, mostly those guys.
Dudes will keep going.
Those guys that spread and develop the sort of pelt.
Right.
At least they keep a big full head of hair then.
No.
No?
Hair starts falling out.
What?
That's the ironic thing. The ironic thing is guys who I know whose hair is thinning out, their hair started thinning at about 26, 28, maybe 30, and the back hair just kept coming.
Spreads.
And the hair will continue to fall out of their head, and the back hair will continue. Good times. I am blessed that I have no back hair, by the way. But big big pant full of ass hair, and now it's coming out of my ears.
That's nice. That's a nice, like the nose and the ear hair.
That's a nice feeling, having to pluck that.
Ooh, it doesn't feel,
Yeah, and having the nose. Now, the nose I don't pluck, because that'll make your eyes water. I mean, that's
weird. But they have little devices to shave it.
Yeah, but you just get little tweezers and, you know, give it a cut out. And, yeah, keep going. Eyebrows, you know, attempting to fuse together as usual. It's a mess. I'm a mess.
I like that I have no forearm hair.
Drew has no hair on his forearm, and his brow, what, your neck doesn't get hair? Hmm. Could you grow a beard?
Just the hair.
You'd grow like a Chinaman's beard, right?
Yeah.
And
you know, what does she want? What does she want from me? And I'm like, you know what I want? I'm like, you know what I've always wanted? I've always wanted you to just, like, not...
I knew that was coming. I knew it. Our college is so predictable. Both of us were waiting.
I know. We just punched up a call, and
she was talking to somebody.
She was speaking to someone on the other line, or someone in the room. Must have been speaking to someone in the room, because the other line wouldn't have worked, and we could hear her conversation. And I thought, this is fun. And then my next thought is she's one of our callers. She's going to use the F word.
Any second.
And I was like, 10. And then I was like, no, 5, 4,
boom,
3. And then the F word came flying out. But just in a casual conversation.
Let's do it again.
All right.
Let's listen.
All right.
But she can just blab out just the bull S part. Just the S.
Now.
Let's do it again.
Well, hold on a second.
Come on, it's a numbers
game. Wait a second now. Drew, first off, we got to repot up here. We got to reboot up this thing, our delay. And secondly, I have to explain to people, because I'm not sure what this is sounding like on the air.
With the delay breaking up and stuff.
That's right. That we punched out.
We got it all.
After she said the F word.
You could just block out the one word.
All right. Yeah. And we just punched back in, and she said.
Are we booted up? We ready?
She said the S word.
Ready.
All right. Let's try again.
For her to say something like that?
Yeah.
Because she turns around and says to me, oh.
10.
I said to her, I go, yes, I go, I go. Thanks for the conversation. Thanks for the fun evening.
5.
And she said to me,
4.
She's like, oh, yeah.
3.
2. Hold on.
1.
It's weird, I could like hear the radio on now. Silence.
Blah, 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 blah. What do you say, Drew? Blah, blah, blah. Let me tell you about high school football. Blah, 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 blah. Brillo head. Blah, 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 blah. Hate my parents. Blah, 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 blah. Crank yankers. Blah, 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 blah.
Unibrow.
Blah, blah, blah. Hairy ass. Blah, blah, blah. Beaten off. Blah, 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 blah. All right. I think that works.
I think that's, yeah, we're back on the air, huh? Good.
I don't know. Blah, 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 blah.
I'll tell you what's wrong with the goddamn world, Drew. Blah, 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 blah. Mayor of the universe. Blah, 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 blah. Heated sofa. Blah, 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 blah. Crotch-sniffing dogs. Blah, 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 blah. Oh, time to beat off. Blah, 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 blah. Like the big breasts. Blah, 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 blah. High school football. Blah, 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 blah. Construction. Blah, 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 blah. Cars. Blah, 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 blah. Parking enforcement personnel. Blah, 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 blah.
Let's take our next call.
Ooh, was that the S word back there?
That was the S word again. Yes, it was.
Was that the S word we heard in the background?
Oh, yeah.
For sure?
Got my S confiscated. Oh, yes. Very definitely.
I don't know. Ann says no. Producer Ann says no.
All right. Let's take our next call.
Ann.
Ann Marie.
Yes.
Hey, you're on Love Line. How are you doing, baby?
I had better nights.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. It took so long. I was just talking to Drew about some current events. Stuff
That's
like
quite
that.
All right.
All right.
31
years old, by
yeah. Here's the deal. I was involved
in an incestual relationship with my brother for quite some time. I'm a little foggy on exactly when it happens, for the duration of time, when it started and when it ended, but I know that it was approximately about 10 years on and off.
Starting approximately when?
Approximately when I was around 5.
All right. And how old was he?
He's 4.5 years older than I am.
And had anyone abused you or anything prior to that?
No.
So what usually sets up that sort of thing is someone gets to one of the kids. So probably your brother was sexually abused.
This is what I've always thought in the back of my head.
Yeah.
Did you guys have sex?
We never actually had intercourse, but there was a lot of oral sex, you know, a lot of hands-on, but it never actually got to intercourse.
So when until you were 15?
Yes.
All right.
Approximately, maybe 14.
All right. And for him, he was like 20.
Yeah.
Okay.
Had a girlfriend at the time, you know, while it was still going on.
Beauty of guys there.
Yeah.
And I never told anybody about it until I was 19 and had already moved out of my house and was living with somebody.
Okay.
Basically, I think it came about, it like resurfaced with me, you know, like the horrors of it, and started coming to terms with it on my own at that time, and decided that I needed to talk to somebody about it. I confided in a family member that was not, you know, one of my parents, and they swore to me they would never say anything. They never did, and they've still held true to this day. But about a year ago, I got engaged, and since then, my relationship with my parents, because recently after I got engaged, I had a humongous argument with my mom, and it ended up turning out that I told her what happened between me and my brother.
Oh, wow. Bad times.
And yeah, really bad time. It's like I'm a glutton for punishment. But after I told her, the immediate response was, "You are an effing liar." Mm-hmm. And from that point on, I'm just like, you know, what do I do? You know.
Well, hold on. Let's quiet down for a second here. First off, that's horrible what happened to you. Second off, we believe you. Third off, I think with your parents, especially your mom, I don't know, it's like so devastating that they couldn't even accept it.
They can't, yeah. I suspect it's a lot of stuff going on in your family already that this kind of thing went on unnoticed for so many years. And now to try to break through her denial about something as devastating as this, just about impossible. And unfortunately, you'd like her to be able to sort of acknowledge the pain you've been through, maybe be, you know, remorseful that this happened to you. But the fact is, she just can't do it. Can't do it. And that that's the way it goes. You have to accept that's the way your parents are.
All right, so what you really need to do is get some therapy in, right?
Yeah, yeah.
For yourself and your mom's denial of it, and your dad, whatever shape he's in, and your brother, whatever shape he's in, it's all water that's way under the bridge.
It's not going to change what you need.
Right.
They're being accepting, they're being loving, they're being available. Still wouldn't change what you need right now. You need some help with this.
No.
And not only that, they aren't going to be that way. There's just no way.
And don't try to get something out of them that they're not going to give you. It's just banging your head against the wall.
I think that's what it is. I'm not too sure what it is I'm trying to get. You know, I don't know if I don't know if my relationship with my brother is ever going to be repairable. And as far as my parents are concerned right now, you know, we're social and we hang out as if nothing ever happened. And every now and again, the argument comes up and I have a blowout with my mom and it just goes back to the same resentment.
All right, but listen, Anne Marie.
Therapy.
That's it. That's it. And you going around and trying to
convert mom.
Trying to convert mom is like some old jock who dropped or missed a winning field goal in a football game from high school in 1974, going to the old field at night with a six pack and sitting there. It's not going to change the outcome at all.
No.
You want to go back and make the field goal?
No.
No, you can't really do that. But if you want to make it okay that you missed a field goal, you got to go to therapy.
Yep.
When we come back, we're going to speak to a prison guard who knows why a 17-year-old could be in prison for life without parole. I was talking about this at the top of the show because I was out in Lancaster and went to a maximum security prison today and hung out with some inmates. And, you know, made a lot of friends out there. Sure. We'll be back. everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew over there. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Yeah, you're lucky I'm tired tonight, Anderson. Yeah, 50,000 watt flame power.
Anyway.
Okay. Are you ready to go here, Drew?
Ready to go. Here we go.
Good times. Crystal.
Yes.
You're 38?
Yes.
You all right, baby?
Oh, yeah. Great.
Okay. You on a speakerphone or something?
Kind of. Anyway, some of the reasons why...
Hold on there, Crystal.
Yeah.
Could you get off the speakerphone?
Actually, no, I can't.
Okay. That's something that you should state.
Okay.
Go ahead, baby.
Okay. Kidnap, false imprisonment, rape, carjacking, murder, or multiple murders, and it would be a combination of, like, not necessarily all of these things, but some of them, and it would be called extenuating circumstances or mitigating circumstances.
Well, this was my point. Adam, at
yes.
the beginning of the show, was saying, well, you know, this guy's just underprivileged and didn't have the right representation. He
uh-uh.
probably just fell over with his knife and stabbed uh-uh. someone at a liquor store. And I said, no way. This has to be multiple heinous, unbelievable things.
Hold on. How dare you? I didn't say that. I said the guy committed the crime when he was probably 16 and change, and there probably was mitigating circumstances. Yeah, he probably picked up his girlfriend and took her out to the woods and shot her. You know what I mean? And then it was false imprisonment, kidnapping, and murder one. Do you know what I mean? I'm just saying he didn't go on a 15-state killing spree at 16 and a half on a moped. That's all I'm saying.
Well, if that was the case, he'd be in federal prison.
Oh, if he went on a killing spree?
Where were you today anyways?
I was at Lancaster.
Ah.
It's good times over there.
Yeah.
It's nice when that 300-degree wind comes kicking down off the mountain and blows a cigarette ash in your cornea.
The high desert.
Yeah, it is the cramp desert over there. You got to be high to be in that desert. That's why they call it the high desert.
Exactly.
So you're saying if in your 17-year-old guy, you got locked up and you're going to be there the rest of your life, it would be a circumstance such as kidnap.
A combination of a lot of things, or a few things, you know what I mean?
Right,
and
right.
They have to be heinous crimes.
Right, and also, and what about climate? I mean, what about political climate? Better times? See, there's better times to commit certain crimes, I believe, and better states to do it in, right?
I would guess, but I'd rather not be in Texas.
Yeah.
You know, California's pretty lenient.
And what do you know about, what's your feeling on representation?
You know what, I don't really know. I don't really know about the representation.
It always feels to me like if you got enough money to throw at something, you can get at least the best possible scenario, not necessarily you're walking.
Well, you know, you talk to these guys and you don't know whether to believe them or not.
Oh, listen, I talk, thanks for calling, by the way, Crystal. I talked to a guy. This guy was scary. He's about 6'4". He's about 250. He was sort of built sort of solid. And again, he sort of looked sort of friendly, but in a sort of 1,000-yard stare kind of way.
Mm.
And I was like, what's up? What's up with you? What are you in life? And again, the guy, you know, the guy's 28 or something, you know. Life. I said, wow, what happened? You have multiple offensive? No. Said, how long have you been here? 6 months. I don't know why, but the lifers who've just been there for 6 months, I would feel a little more depressed for. So if the guys have been there for 12 years or something, or become a way of life.
Mm-hmm.
What's up? He was playing the guitar, you know.
The prisoners playing the guitar there?
Well, this is the reason we started talking to this guy, El Cabong, as he was known on the prison yard. He said, he was a chopper pilot. Like a commercial chopper pilot, and everything was going great. Walked into a bar, got into a fight, broke out, and he broke some guy's arm or something. You know, basically to hear him say it, he was working as a chopper pilot, everything was great, had a good gig, no priors or anything, stopped off at a bar, big fight broke out, he somehow broke a guy's arm.
He's in jail for life.
Now life with no possibility of parole. And we didn't really bust his chops on it too much because I didn't want him to bust the guitar over my head. But Jimmy and I sort of looked at each other when we walked away and said, it seems like there's got to be just a little more to that story.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's normally how it goes. Still, can't help but feel sorry for the guys who got thrown in 16, 17 years old.
Do not assume that everyone's brain operates similarly.
Look,
you know what I'm saying?
I am saying that there's a fair, overwhelming majority of those guys need to be in there and then some. I'm saying there's a handful of those guys that if you met them, your heart would go out to them. Mm. It really would, regardless of what they did 15 years ago.
See, if you were a woman, you'd be wanting to date these guys.
I did blow one of the guys.
Right.
Got to be honest.
Yeah, that's what I figured.
Got to be honest with
you. Yeah, well, thank you.
Mike?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
You're 19.
Yeah. Well, my girlfriend, we've been going out for about 2 years. It'll be 2 years in August. Well, we didn't have sex for about 8 months after we started going out. And then we didn't have it that much. And then after a while, it kind of went to nothing. We just stopped.
Fantastic.
Yeah, it's great, huh? Well, I ask her, you know, can we do it? And she's afraid of getting pregnant and all this stuff. And I tell her I'll buy the pill for her, you know, use condoms and get, like, contraceptives and all that stuff. And she still won't go for it. And she won't even let me touch down there. She won't fool around with me or anything.
And it's been how long since this has been going on?
Well, I haven't gotten laid for the last, like, 7-8 months.
How about the no touch?
The no touch, I mean, she'll give me hand jobs and stuff like that, but that's about it.
That's sweet.
That's what's considerate.
And she doesn't like you doing stuff to her?
No, not at all.
All right. I'd say one of two things.
Okay.
Drew, can you guess what these two things are?
A, she's done.
Right.
B, she's done.
See,
the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Then maybe she got already had a plan that she didn't want to be involved like this till she was married and got kind of guilty.
No, D. Here's what I'm saying. Yeah, okay.
Maybe she's done.
A, B, and C, she's done. D, something happened to her. She got fiddled with, and she's getting weird now. It's starting to come back.
Could be.
She's getting some weird energy and some weird feelings.
She's told me about this thing that, like, she doesn't remember this, but her mom told her something about, because her mom split up with her dad, and she said something about her dad, but she doesn't know anything about this or remember it, but her dad either molested her or did something like that to her.
All right, well, there you go.
And I was thinking about that.
Well, that's D.
That's part of it, yeah.
And that's probably it. Now, this may be A, B, C, and D. This may be all of the above.
I would say, right, D. It may be A subset D.
A, B, and C forced D here.
Right.
And even if it is D, A and B and C are still applicable.
Mm-hmm.
You can't do anything about it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Or applicable.
Okay. Well, also, can I say something else?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, I got in trouble with the law when I was 17.
Okay, that's E.
Yeah. No.
I mean, you're doing E?
Huh?
No, okay, go ahead.
Well, they sent me to they didn't send me to prison. They sent me to, like, one of those scared straight
things. Yeah. Yeah.
The prison.
Give me your shoes, mother effer!
And well, you know, and it was pretty scary. I mean, there's this guy that was in there for life for first degree, and he was up in my face yelling at me, and I thought it was pretty scary. And he looked like a killer. You know how you're talking about how they seemed.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Well, but you gotta understand,
they were hired for that. They were selected for that. Yeah,
that's true.
Yeah, if you want to scare kids away from going to prison, you don't talk to the nice guy with the John Denver type glasses who's got a big smiley face, is playing the guitar and singing to you, you know, how many men must a man kill?
He even fooled Adam.
Before he loses chance of parole. Yeah, I mean, the guy seemed like a sweetheart. I was ready to keister the guy and smuggle him out. This close to keistering one of those inmates, Drew.
Nice.
Okay, so, Mike.
I'm sure they were this close to keistering you.
Yeah. Mike, she's broken up. Oh, she's pulling way out. And
whether it's because she was monkeyed with or not, it seems like she's done.
There's not.
Her body's saying something.
There's nothing Mike can do. And after all, he's been sort of weaned off the weenus here anyway. Mm-hmm. So I just think she did get fiddled with. She's going to have some issues. And Mike may be out whether he knows it or not.
Right.
Okay. We'll be back. Hey, yo. Love Line. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. All righty. Let's keep piling forward here. Speak to Anita, who's 18. Anita?
Hi.
Hey.
I'm 18, and I have a big problem.
All right.
I never had a date. I'm a virgin. I've never been kissed. I've never had a boyfriend. So what's wrong with me?
You need
You're fat.
Just making a little pun. Anita needs a
I just
penis.
Graduated from high school, too.
Yeah. So, are you fat?
No, not really.
All
I
right.
mean, I'm bigger than normal, some, like, cheerleaders, but I'm not that fat.
Let me do a little radio math. What size are you?
I'm about 180. Maybe, like, 175, around there.
What height are you?
I'm about 5'7".
5'7", 180. Bear with me for a second. I got 5'4 and a quarter, 196.
She's not amused.
Okay. No one's amused in my brain. Rarely do I get a good response with my radio math, but you have to do it.
You're overweight.
All right, please. So, Anita.
Uh-huh.
You could be a little bit of a late bloomer. You know, not everything goes on for everyone at the same time. You got a couple little extra weight on you. That can slow the guys down a little bit. Not the black guys, but it can slow some guys down a little bit. What are you looking for?
I'm looking for a date. Man, I don't want to be like...
an old spinstress?
I want to have some fun. I want to talk to guys. And my friends say that guys are checking me out and stuff like that. My mom says it too, and I just like probably don't realize it because like I don't want to come on too strong, you know.
Right.
They like flirt with me and stuff like that, and I don't want to.
You by the way, you know,
come on too strong.
You know, things aren't in great shape socially when your parents are jumping in, going, "No, I think that dude wants to f you."
That's a problem.
Yeah, he's
also.
I don't mean a problem. I just mean it goes to show that times aren't good.
Another thing, if a guy is into her, there's no such thing as too aggressive.
What do you mean?
I mean, if a guy was attracted to her and she came on like a gangbuster, he'd be relieved.
Well, oh, yeah.
I really don't know how to flirt, you know, and I don't want to be like, come on, like, desperate, you know?
Well, don't worry about
it.
If the guy's into it, he's bring it on.
Yeah. Listen, you saying I don't know, you're too up in your head. You just got to, if you're into a guy, go talk to him. You don't have to worry about it.
Dick.
Hey, Anita?
Yeah.
But I got to be honest with you. The weight, while now not morbidly obese, is 180 is a good size. And that'll slow guys down a little bit. And you're 18 just for, personal reasons. Why don't you work on working out, eating a good diet and everything? And then the pounds start melting away. You get some exercise. You feel a little better about yourself. You look in the mirror. You like what you see. And it becomes a little more easy, the relationships. You get that confidence.
But don't worry about being too aggressive. Do not worry about that.
So, like, with guys, I should flirt back and worry about anything else?
Do not worry about it.
Right.
All right.
And hit that die, too, baby, right?
All right. Thank you.
All righty. Good times. I'm 6'2", and I'm, like, 190, and I think I look fat when I look in the mirror. Who doesn't think they look fat? Anderson, do you got a good image, or are you just like, wait, are you a mess?
I'm huge.
Just like the rest of us.
No, but everyone doesn't like, no one likes what they see when they look in the mirror. But there's still a very small, like, kernel in your brain that thinks you're super hot, but the rest of you really knows you need a lot of work.
Kernel.
it's just a little kernel in there. There's you got to be honest. There's a mixture of you that goes, hey, baby, but it's me. Tries to roll. I've just started. That's my
you.
Thing now.
That's
oh, really?
You. That's you.
My thing is look, I know I don't look like that, and I know I'm not as good looking
but
as
I'm made up.
But come on, I'm me.
You two look so different on TV. I was watching The Man Show, like, last week, and that's not you.
Yeah.
I don't know who that person is.
He's not saying you look better on
TV. No, I look worse on TV. I always have.
Oh, boy.
Always have.
That's nice.
I've never...
That's a good thing it's your chosen career path. That's right.
Yeah. Well, we're on radio now, you know. Get to hear my nasally drone, but I've never seen a publicity picture of myself where I looked good.
By the way,
always look better when Ann just takes a shot with us in the bands after the show.
You know why when a horse eats hay, you hear that the teeth click together and there's that crunching noise.
Yeah.
When you eat, that's what it sounds like. Except there's also the on top of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, it's not that crunching. It's like the teeth clicking, and like a horse chewing hay.
Well, you know, I'm missing a couple of teeth now. I don't know if that screwed me up. And I'm not, I won't put them back. I'm now starting to think, what do I need them for?
Mm.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
What do I need these two teeth for? I got them pulled. Been living with it for 2 months. Seems fine to me. It's a hell of a lot easier to floss between the 1 and 4 tooth than it was when you get rid of the 2 and 3. You got this huge thing, and I could floss with an anchor chain. It's great. And my dentist, again, asked me if I was hooked on mints or any kind of hard candy. And again, all right, now hold on a second. I got to give the genetic speech one more time, and this is going to be fast. It's going to be tooth-related, and I hope my dentist is listening, but I hope everybody's listening. My dentist is looking at my teeth like a week ago, and he asked me for really the third time. By the way, there's nothing more insulting than this. Are you sure you don't eat a lot of candy? No. Actually, I just polished off a baby bar, but
hard candy.
Other than the last 4 minutes, no. Do you suck on mints a lot? No. Is there some kind of like I don't know cough pill, cough drop or something that you're constantly sucking on? No, I'm prone to cavities. It's one more reason I need to kick my dad in the nuts. I brush my goddamn teeth. I floss my goddamn teeth. I probably have a better diet than most. I mean, I probably eat less candy and less sweets than your average guy and probably take care of my teeth about the same as your average guy. Some guys have zero cavities. Some guys have a mouthful of cavities. Why?
Genes.
Genes. Genes, everybody. Genes. Even the dentist, whose profession is effing with people's teeth, can't accept it. It's like, you sure? Like, at some point, I'm going to have a revelation and go, yeah, you know what I do? I take a handful of milk duds, I shove in my mouth every night before I go to bed, and I just fall asleep. Sometimes they're melted when I wake up. Other times, there's whole milk duds lying around the bed and pillow. Are you sure you don't eat any? No, I'm not. Look at your height. Look at your eye color. Look at the size of your ass. Look at the color of your hair. It's all the same. It all gets dealt to you. It just does. And a guy who doesn't have cavities should not write a book on it. And I should not be punished for having cavities. Just like we shouldn't punish people for the color of their skin, the color of their eyes, or the width of their ass. Thank you.
So be it.
We can't get past that as a society. We just can't.
David, what's up?
Hey, Adam and Dr. Drew.
Hey,
what's going on?
I have these sores on my body, and you were mentioning to a girl about if they're symmetrical, I guess, on each side, evenly, like?
Well, symmetry just suggests different kinds of dermatologic disorders. But they're like little ulcers?
They're like, get dark, and they have red spots on them, and then when they go away, they leave little dents in them, in the skin.
Do you pick at them?
Yeah, I pick at them.
Do you do speed or cocaine?
I do crack, yeah.
All right. Well, these are Picker syndrome. This is every stimulant addict gets this thing.
Oh. You do crack. I mean, come on, David.
I know.
They start believing you have little hairs in there or there's glass in there.
David,
you pick at them.
David smokes.
No, I don't. I just try and pull them off because they itch.
Or they're bugs.
Well, you get them started.
Like, things attached to them. Like when I pull it, the blood will just come out and there'll be little black dots in it.
Right. Well, that's nothing. That's just you looking at that and saying that.
I bet you David does crack, probably lives off a soft swirl ice cream and marathon bars. I bet his teeth are better than mine. Mine are. I bet you have less cavities in your 38-year-old mouth than I do.
Yeah, I probably have 6 fillings altogether.
Yeah. Well, I got 60.
Yeah.
If I sprung a new tooth, I would owe a cavity on it.
Well, the speed addicts tend to get more preoccupied with what's in what they're picking. The cocaine addicts just pick. And the laboratory animals pick, and the humans pick.
They do?
Yep.
When you say pick, you don't mean play the banjo.
No, I mean dig at their skin.
Interesting. Sure you don't eat mints. Robert?
Yes.
You're 21.
Yes, I am. First couple of these guys, Adam. Three words, you're the man. And Drew, you're one of the reasons why going into medicine I've
with you guys all day long when I'm studying for OCHEM and stuff like that. So.
Wow.
Thank you.
Don't be a fool, you idiot.
Wow, that's a new one. So what's going on?
Well, I'm a vegetarian, and I eat a lot of soy products. Mm. And I've heard that a lot of the menopause replacements are made out of soy, and hence they have a lot of estrogen in it. And I'm 21, and ever since I think I've been about, like, 12, 13-ish, I've had, like, man boobs.
Yeah.
And they're not, like, really big boobs. They're just, like, maybe, say, a,
right.
I don't know, B cup, A cup size, you know?
All right, well, here's the deal. At early in puberty, there's estrogen-like chemicals being produced by the adrenal glands, and the testosterone hasn't yet really replaced what's being produced by the adrenals. And so around that age, men commonly will get some man boob growth that will go away. I wonder if the what are called phytoestrogens, the plant estrogens in the soy, are what maybe sustained it. Smoking a lot of pot's another way to get it sustained, too.
Yeah, I don't do drugs, but I was told when I was, like, 13, like, yeah, I had, like, a checkup, and then the physician said, yeah, you know, if these don't go away while you're 17, come back and tell us, and I just don't have the balls to go tell them.
Well, yeah, and sometimes it just stays on. Sometimes it's no reason, it's just you. That's what, and there are plastic surgical procedures to
let me get my speech again. You at 21 eating some soy is not going to give you man boobs or
well,
smoking
I,
a little
I
reefer.
Soy, like practically every meal, like I have soy chicken, soy steak, soy shrimp.
That's
you know,
a lot of it.
You
yeah.
name it. Intestine, I've had all, I have it all. So
still, not nothing. You're prone to it. Go back and talk to the doctor.
Yeah,
but I mean, you're just that's you. That's
probably
your tour.
Probably
I'm done. I can't take any more of all this stuff.
All right, let's take a break.
Everyone's got a workout secret. My ass.
Hmm. That's the point.
I should write a book on how to get cavities. Yeah, you know what? Yeah. Here's the Adam Carolla book for how to get cavities. Don't eat a lot of candy and brush and floss your teeth. That's what my book would read.
Have
that's,
your parents.
I said, do it. Well, I get a lot of cavities. I must know. Idiots. Well, that is it. We will be back here tomorrow night. I'm going to run home and get myself cavity.
By not eating? Oh, by brushing, of course.
Well, here's
yeah.
my thing with my dentist. Look, I want him to say, look, I want to say to the guy, if I'm getting all these cavities, I'm going to start sucking on something because...
You want to have a reason to have them.
I like to feel like I've earned the cavity,
yeah,
at least enjoy my hard candies.
You better ask him, though, about the implant stuff, whether you're going to lose the potential of getting them.
Yeah, I think you know your teeth start closing up.
And your bone may change. I don't know.
All right. Yeah, good times. Good times. Good times. I'll dream about that tonight.
All right, Pops.
So until next time, it's Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying, mahala. That's me. I don't want people to hear what I have to say.
That's a damn lie, and you know it!
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Wilkins-Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.